God has been speaking throughout the service, and so after the word goes forth, we have a time of just sharing what God has been speaking. The thing that really came to me that God's been speaking to my spirit is we hear a lot of statistics about how many people are involved that are hungry in the United States and around the world. It's painful to hear how many die. World hunger is no joke. What does hunger in America look like? If every adult only that was hungry would go arm by arm, they would circle the coast 11 times. But this does not include the 17 million hungry children in America. We need to pray for world hunger. We need to pray that God would help us in our local communities. And we need to support our local church and begin by sharing many, many things that God has given us. You know, I wanted to share this because this is something that has stayed in my heart. Everyone says, I'll give when I have a large quantity to give. That's what everyone wants to do. They want to wait until they get some sort of a windfall. But I wanted to tell you today that I was reading an article, and the article said that if each of us would purpose in our heart that someone in our neighborhood, someone around us, that we would just share a portion from our table, just from our table with someone else, the numbers would go down significantly. That windfall may not come, but something for you to think about at your table time, can you share with someone else? I thought about this because my son went into the cabinet just a little while ago, again last week, and I've shared this on one ground, and the other day he was in the cabinet and he looks and he goes, Mom, there is nothing in here to make sandwiches with. And I have to go to school. So I walked in there and I made a cup, made a sandwich for him, made a sandwich for me, made lunch. And he says, Mom, how did you do that? I said, because you're looking for what you want. I'm looking for what we have. And I made lunch. But today I'm not speaking about world hunger. I'm not even speaking about the type of hunger where you share from your table. But I'm speaking of a hunger that affects each and every one of us. And you can change this hunger. It is painful to see and hear that people are starved in the word. They are given to restless nights, painful situation, hopeless hours, no vision of improvement, victims of their own situations. They have no promise that change will come. No word means no God. They are malnourished, dizzy, weak, and without an armor. Ephesians 6. If we read Ephesians, the sixth chapter, every part of Ephesians lets us know that we need to know about God's word. Because if we have no ability to know about God's word, we cannot suit up. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his might. Put on all the armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the cunning, crafty tricks, against all strategies of the devil. God's armor isn't the armor that we put on when we want to. God's armor is the armor that we should be putting on every single solitary day. And it is not an armor of darkness. It is an armor of light and righteousness. We need the armor of God. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. And how many of you have taken your fight to flesh and blood? You see, when we can no longer understand our trials, when we can no longer make it, the first thing we do is launch out at each other. And what we do is take the fight to flesh and blood. This battle is not flesh and blood. It is principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. It is not a fleshly battle. It is a spiritual battle. And we need to put on the proper armor to fight this battle. Verse 13, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you may be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be able to stand firm. I always think about how people are so wishy-washy. In today, out today, in today, out, in, out. I'm standing for God. I'm not standing for God. I'm believing God. I'm not believing God. The reason why we are falling apart is because we need to know how to stand firm. Let me tell you, God has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will do the same thing. He is not weak or unable. He is God. And whatever we need, he has it. And he has not changed. He still works miracles. He's still here with us. He's with you in the midnight hour. He was at the hospital in the midnight hour. I was telling one of my son's friends on the basketball team, she had to go in for surgery. And I told her I had an opportunity to pray with her, had an opportunity to be with her, but this is what I shared with her. I said, I know that people think Jesus has gone asleep. I know that they think Jesus does not still do the same things. But I gave her a list of miracles that Jesus has worked. I gave her a list of times that Jesus has been there and has met people's needs, and he has not changed. She went through surgery and came out, and on Friday I went to her house to visit her and to take some food, and when I got there, she is sitting up. She was able to eat, and she said, this Jesus took me through the surgery and bought me out. I said, I would not believe anything else. I know he's able. I know he's able. And I'm telling you, we've got to get to that point because people are wrapped in turmoil. And we need Jesus. He says for us to put on the whole armor. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Putting on the belt of truth. Putting on the belt of truth. Truth comes from knowing God's word. Without reading God's word, you will not know truth. We are told all types of things. The argument today is about all the things that we are told. But I'm telling you, you will know truth when you gird up in God's word. Put on truth. The next it says, and the body armor of God, righteousness. The reason why we have that whole armor that totally girds our body is because he is protecting the vital parts of our body, making sure the emotions and all of the pain that comes with those things, knowing that we will know the truth. The devil is a liar, and I want you to know that. You know, people say, oh, we don't say that today. It's not politically correct. Well, I'm going to tell you, you say what you want to say, but there have been times in my life when I have walked through some awful things that I looked up and I said, God, you are truth, and devil, you are a liar. And you're the father of lies. And God is with me. And he is walking with me. I had to remind myself, and I let him know. I serve you notice because God is my father. I'm walking with him in situations in life. And it says, in righteousness, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. So you will be fully prepared. Christians are supposed to have on shoes of peace. When we walk in a room, there's supposed to be a change happening. We don't fall into the confusion. We don't walk in the room and everything is tore up and we tear it up worse. We're supposed to have shoes of peace on. We walk in, and when we walk in, the situations are to change. So he tells us that we need to have on put on shoes of peace that comes from the good news. How do you put this armor on? Everything alludes to the fact that you have to read the word. Everything alludes to the fact that you've got to meditate on God's word. And I'm sorry to tell you, I love books and I read all kinds of other books, but there is a time when you have to every day take out God's word and meditate only on his word, because these other people might miss it. You need to meditate on God's word and take a moment. And it says, from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil, and put on salvation as your helmet, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword is both defensive and offensive. It will block the attack of the, but it can also be used offensively to have the enemy that's coming toward you, for you to hold it up. And you say, let me tell you something. I got the word. You come on with it. You come on, but I've got the word. I have been, as you, this week praying for many, many people. And I have had staff and different people call. And every time as you talk to people, my aunt called me with some things. And as I was talking to her, she kept saying, but. And I said, Auntie, I'm going to tell you something. I said, I'm going to leave but out of it, and I'm going to believe God. I said, because if we continue to say but, what we're saying is that I have this whole big circle of doubt. I said, let's just pray. And if God chooses to do it a different way, he will do that. But let's stand firm, believing that he's got this. I know that he has this. And we've got to trust him. There are statistics all over about world hunger. But there are no statistics about being hungry for the word of God. The weakest man or woman can be made strong and become soldiers of light and strength. He or she can help train another in the word if they decide to put on the armor of the word. Are you starving for the word? That's what I'm speaking on. Are you starving for the word? When is the last time that you set aside time to be in the word? Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says this: blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water that spreadeth forth its roots in its season, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall it cease from yielding fruit. You want to be a strong tree, you need the word of God. The word of God gets inside of you, and you become a confirmed believer. I had, you know, I listened to, just like you, I watch crazy shows. So sometimes I'll watch Medea, and Medea says that every time she reads the word of God, she goes to sleep. And so I hear people saying, every time I read the word of God, I go to sleep. I don't. Because when I read the word of God, there is something I recognize I can't live without. So if you're having a sleep problem, every time you pick up the word of God, I'm going to tell you to find a time that you can read it. Get up early in the morning. If early in the morning is not your thing, get it before you get in bed at night. Pick up the word of God. If that's not your thing, put it up on the computer while you're working. If that's not your thing, find a time to read the word of God. Because you will never be a strong tree. You will never be a strong person until you get in God. You will always be misplaced. I've been there. In 1 Peter 2 and 1, it says, so get rid of evil, all evil behavior. Be done with deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. We need to cry out, God, I want more of you. And we need to set aside time. Set aside time. I'm thinking of, we go in the mornings and we have devotions in my house. And so, you know, my son's getting older. Life is getting busier. So he'll say, Mom, I'm not ready yet. Mom, I got this. Mom, I got that. So this mom may not do it the right way, but this is what I do. I say, open up your room door. I'm reading. Because he's going to go to school without the word. And so he's walking around the house. He's doing stuff. And this is the way it would sound in my house. Romans 22:2. I'm just reading it. I would say, I love God's law with all my heart. And I would continue to read the scripture while he is getting dressed. He comes out and he goes, Mom, that is so silly. And so I look at him and I said, that's true, son. So next time it's time for devotions, I'll get you up 30 minutes earlier. I said, because we're going to have devotions before you go to school. Because every time we don't, you get into foolishness. So we are going to have God's word work in you before you need to go to school. He now gets up and he says, I don't want to get up 30 minutes earlier, Mom. I'll just get up. So he gets up, he's dressed, and we have devotions. The thing is that I'm looking out for the fact. Others may say, well, you know what? I wouldn't do that to my kid. It's okay if you wouldn't do it to yours. But foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And I know that the word of God has helped my son change his life. And let me tell you something. On every day and at every given time, he has come back to me. And he said, Mom, you know what? Remember that scripture we read yesterday or the day before on last Friday? I said, yes. He said, I actually said that to someone at school. It's the word of God. And it's growing up in him. Sure, I drive him crazy. Sure, he probably sits next to his friends and says, my mom is loco. It's okay. It's okay. I said the same thing about mine. She didn't become smart till I got old. And then I realized I can't even make it without her because she's a lot smarter than I ever thought. But right now, while he's still under my roof, the word goes forth because he needs it. We are to love God's word, which means we will take time to read it, meditate on it. Joshua 1:8 says, study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. You know something? I keep talking to people and they say, I'm praying. And I said, okay, have you put scripture with prayer? And they said, well, I didn't think I had to do that. All I needed to do was pray. And I said, are you reading God's word? No, not really, but I pray. I said, but you don't know what God can do if you're not reading his word. I'm bringing this to you today because when we go to the hospitals, when we're going places to minister to people, when we are there and we're seeking God's face for other people, when I talk with some of those people, they're so hopeless. And God's word is the only thing that gives me hope. The only thing. I have been through situations that for myself and sat at a hospital, and they have looked at me and told me some things that were going on in my body. And the only thing that gave me hope, at that moment, I have to be honest, I did not think of maybe even to stop and pray, but I kept saying, Lord, you are the maker of this body, and by your stripes I am healed. The word of God became life at that moment in my life. And I'm telling you that it is the stabilizing force. Psalms 119:97 says, oh, how I love the law of the Lord. When we can get God's word and love it, it corrects us and it cleans us and it purifies us, but it also hugs us. It really does. There are just those times when the sisters came today to give me what God said. That was a time that I felt God said, here's a hug. Here's a hug. And so I want to tell you that it is a time where God brings the word to us. It says here, oh, how I love the law. It is what I think about all through the day. The word of God teaches us and teaches me our biblical history. It teaches us about redemption. It teaches us about the plan of God for our lives. It teaches us about our future. Some of us don't have a plan because we don't know that the word of God has our plan there. You've been asking God and praying and saying, Lord, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? What is your plan for my life? It's in the word. And if you read the word, he'll begin to unfold the word, and all of a sudden what you're asking him for becomes clearer. I prayed and I said, God, my future, for as I'm getting older, what is your plan for me? And God has unfolded things slowly, and he's still unfolding and telling me where he wants me and telling me what he wants me to do. And I'm writing and I'm listening and I'm reading, and he's unfolding the word to me. That only happens as you read the word. I am not special. He's special. And he will speak to each one of you just like that as you pray for his plan. The Bible says in John 14, 1 through 4, it says, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If it weren't true, I would not have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when everything is ready, I will come again and get you so that you will also be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. He's coming back to take his church, to take each of us, whether it be by grave or whether it be by rapture, whatever it is, he's coming back. And I have that blessed hope every single solitary day in every situation. I have a blessed hope that he's there. He's working it out. The word of God is my power source. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God is my strength. The word of God is my solid foundation. The word of God is the foundation of my peace. The word of God tells me the source of all wisdom. When I doubt, the Bible says, if any man lack God, let him ask. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of God, who gives it liberally. Go to God. We go to all kinds of things for wisdom, but we have the right to go to God. We have to reorientate ourselves. Because even in every part of our lives, we are instructed to go many places. You need this, go here. You need that, go there. But we need God. Go to God. Go to his word. James 1 and 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. The word of God is my mental stability. I want to stop there because that seems a little funny. But in the last couple of months, I have been going to meet with people in a small group that are battling with mind things. And things are going on inside of their mind. And the one thing I ask them, as I said, when's the last time you tied your mind to the word of God? I'm telling you, some of these things that we're going through in life, the reason why it's strenuous is because we are not tied into the word of God. So I brought New Testaments in, and I gave everybody a New Testament. And I said, what we're going to do is we're going to start reading the New Testament. And we're going to find everything that you are struggling with. We're going to ask God for scripture so that you can stand on something. Because let me tell you, what do? When you're on all the medications, and I don't knock them, but what happens if you're temptations and you're still having a hard time. What do? You got to find a Savior. You got to understand what our Savior is, who he is, what he's capable of doing, because you need Jesus Christ in the midnight hour. You need him to cradle you. You need him to hold you. You need him to strengthen you. Philippians 4 and 8 says, and now, dear brother and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thought on what is true, honorable and right, pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Think on these things. Those are the things that you have to start thinking on. You have to begin to say, God, what is it? What am I supposed to think on? So we've been working on thinking on some of these things. And what one of the girls called last night, really late, my phone was on because of Alexia, and we've been going back and forth and praying and talking. So my phone was on at 11. All of you know my phone will never be on at 11 unless someone calls me and says, I have a crisis, then I leave my phone on. So I got a phone call at 11, and one of the girls said, I wanted to share something with you. I felt today, all morning, that when I woke up, like killing myself. She said, but I read those scriptures that you gave me. And she said, I got to tell you something. I'm still here. She said, I'm still here. And I am just saying, Lord, I don't even know why I was invited to be a part of this. But now that I'm there, I said, God, I have to go in the way I go in. Because when I went in, I guess they brought me in under an educational premise. So I stayed educational for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then I said, oh, forget this. People need help. And I am not going to fool around with all of this. I got to go in like this. So when I bought the Bible out, I thought I was going to be asked to leave, and I wasn't. So then I said, we're going to take it a step further. I'm buying New Testaments. So then when I gave the New Testament, I still wasn't asked to leave. So I said, okay, we get ready to have fun. Because they need the word. And so the word of God, this is how God spoke to me afterwards. And I'm going to share this and I'm almost done. The word of God is the validity of my faith. It's what makes my faith real. It's what makes my faith substantial. It's what tells me that every part of what I have in my life comes from him. And that he will always be there. He will never leave me nor forsake me. David said, I have been young, but now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed out begging for bread. I'm telling you, it's the validity of my faith, the word of God. I can't make it without it. The word of God tells us about the good shepherd. The word of God tells us to cast all of our cares upon him. The word of God tells me how to enter into his courts. He says, enter into my courts with thanksgiving. Enter into my gates with praise. We need to know how to come into the house of the Lord. We need to often go back and just have a little practice. When you get to that door, before you open it, every now and then you need to stand at the door and say, God, I thank you. I thank you for bringing me here. I thank you for waking me up this morning, closed in my right mind. I thank you for saving me. Hallelujah. I thank you for sanctifying me. I thank you for delivering me. God, I thank you. Hallelujah. I feel like running. The word of God says he will bottle up my tears. The word of God tells me that he loved me so much that he died for me. Hallelujah. People are looking for someone to love them. But I have a Savior that loved me so much that he stood in front of me and said, I'll take it. I'll die for her. Others don't die for you. Jesus Christ died for you. John 3:16 says that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. says that there is nothing new under the sun. Everything we go through or will go through, God's word has the answer. Go to the word. Study the word. Relax in the word. I'm telling you, it will cut some of your bills down in other areas if you go to the word. Because he'll give you wisdom. He will be with you in the midnight hour. I am not a great person, but I have people that call and they say, I was up all night. I am rarely up all night. Because if I start having stuff crazy going on, I say, okay, let me roll out. I roll out, drop down, and say, okay, God, here it is, because I really need my sleep. I'm old. I need to sleep. So here it is, God. And I lay it on the altar, get up, and go to sleep. Because I can't do anything about it. Only Jesus Christ can. Psalms 1 and 2, and this is what I want to leave you with. David said, but he finds joy in the law of the Lord. I want to share with you, not all the time is it going to be that everything is going to be a hug and a kiss. Sometimes it's going to be a rebuke. But love the law of the Lord and think about his law day and night. David said he thinks about his law day and night. It needs to be the first thing you think about in the morning, but you need to seek God for directions and say, Lord, what is my day supposed to look like? I want to tell you that God has taught me from a little girl that when utter chaos takes over my life, to stand still and say, okay, God, what's wrong? Where did I miss it today? Or what are you trying to teach me? Now I need you to walk me through this day and show me what you're trying to teach me. I am in fight mode. And you have to get there where you're willing to really get help some people pray through. Because people need soldiers that are willing to be there to give them the word. I want to leave a challenge before you. I'm asking you to get in fight mode so you can help your neighbor. So you can help other people. Get in fight mode that you're willing to share the word of God wherever you are. That you are willing to say, I know somebody that can take care of that. Everyone stand to their feet. Pastor Jay, I'm going to give you this.
Lord, thank you for a life committed to you. We thank you for your word here today, Lord, about your word. Lord, we ask that it would sink down deep, build that hunger and that desire in us, Lord, knowing that we can come to you, Lord, knowing that we can come to your word. I ask that you would just drill your word down deep in us, Lord, that it be a wellspring in our lives. Jesus. We had some words this morning to share with you, particular thing. Ladies, if you could. These words ring true with any of you. God.
Thinking about his may not even be. Want to encourage you. Just felt like okay, sorry. All right, so encouragement is he sees what you're doing and be encouraged. You're doing a good job. He wants you to be built up in the fact that you are parenting. Your children do see the example you're setting for them. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning.
I believe the Lord showed me a picture. And in this picture, there was a person who had three things operating in their life, or three circumstances. I didn't know what the three things were. But they presented themselves to be like three circular, like marbles or something. But these three pieces in their life were so significant that it had backed them in a corner. In other words, they were very much trapped by the three things. And they began to look at the circumstance that they had found themselves in, pinned by these three things that were circumstances in their life. And they looked at it, and they continued to look at it, attempting to find a way out or a way to resolve or a way to meet the three demands. And they could not, the more that they studied it and sincerely searched. I then saw the Lord speak to the person and say, the answer is not there. And to put it down and began to reflect on him. And when the person did that, I saw a way, a path, be drawn through the three pieces that had presented an entangling triangle. And the Lord drew a path right through it. And it was a means, a resolution, a way through that would not have presented itself in the natural circumstances. Nothing in that circumstance would have brought forth that solution. And then I understood the Lord to explain this to me. He said, all authority has been given to me. Now that means everything that exists in this world, whether it be the natural rules of science, gravity, whether it be the natural things of finances, whether it be the natural things of health, everything that exists in this world must come and submit itself to the authority of the Lord. And what he says, what he brings forth, everything in this world, every circumstance, will bend itself to submit and comply with what he desires to come through. And therefore, what could not be figured out by the natural mind and with the circumstances that were there and the resources within those circumstances could not come forth. But the Lord bent everything to his authority and made a way through. You're never going to be trapped.
If you're sensing a common theme this morning, you're right. Father, we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you that you have made a way through for us, Lord. Lord, I thank you that your word is active and alive, and we can know you. You, Jesus, are truth. Your word is truth. And Lord, I ask right now for all of these that you would bless them, that you would bless them during this week, that we would be reminded to place our focus on you, Lord, and look for your answers through all the circumstances we have. In Jesus' name, amen. If you responded to these words, you felt something in your heart, come on forward. We'd like to pray for you. Everybody else, be released and go about your week, go about your day.